With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Wisconsin's Ice Age and North Country Scenic Trails are now officially recognized as units of the National Park System. That means the trails will have access to new resources in terms of funding and environmental management. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed attended the online announcement.
The Ice Age and North Country Scenic Trails are popular hiking destinations in northern Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula. The Ice Age Trail stretches over 1,000 miles along the edge of the last continental glacier in Wisconsin, and the North Country National Scenic Trail is longer, spanning 4,800 miles through multiple states, including Wisconsin and Michigan, and passing waterfalls, wetlands, and woods. They're now considered units, which means a lot to the people who work in the trail system. They have access to more funding and other resources. Luke Klobberdans is the executive director and CEO of the Ice Age Trails Alliance.
I haven't stopped smiling for about the last 24 hours.
Klobberdans says that unit status recognizes the work thousands have contributed to create and maintain the trails.
It's evidence that the National Park Service is paying attention to Wisconsin and how important the trail is to the state and its residents.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has been pushing for this change since 2014.
For the first time, with this new designation, Wisconsin trails will be included in all the great lists that publicize our nation's national treasures and that the national parks put together and be considered for more funding opportunities that allow their managers and many volunteers to take good care of them.
Klobberdans says the Ice Age Trails land conservation team wants to close gaps in the trail, and that's a major focus for the future. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
The New England National Scenic Trail was also included in the National Park Service's announcement. That brings the total number of units in the system to 428. Communities across the Northwoods are working to keep the Christmas spirit alive this weekend. Pioneer Park Historical Complex in Rhinelander is holding its annual Christmas open house. Events kicked off last weekend. Director Carrie Bladorn said it was the best turnout they've had for the Christmas open house since he's been involved with it.
The Railroad Museum is really the highlight of the event. The whole depot is decked out. The train is decked out in Christmas lights. We run the railroad maintenance speeder, which is always a lot of fun for kids and families. But there's free cocoa and cookies and a ton of model rail displays set up. And, you know, couple things that go hand in hand around Christmas time, it's trains and Christmas. You know, growing up, I always enjoyed putting the train around my grandparents' Christmas tree, and it's something I've looked forward to for years and years, and this just kind of fits the bill.
Santa will also be making a visit this Saturday. There will also be horse-drawn wagon rides around the park from Dr. Allison French.
It's just a great event, a great opportunity for kids and families to come down and make some of those magical Christmas memories that last a lifetime.
The open house is Saturday from 10:30 to 5. The Marathon County Health Department says there has been a recent jump in drug overdoses and has issued an overdose spike alert. Jenna Flynn is public health educator for the Marathon County Health Department.
For an overdose spike alert to happen in Marathon County, there has to be three or more non-fatal overdoses in one day where emergency medical services or the emergency department is involved.
The alerts use data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. They are put in place to inform communities and invite conversation in those communities to prevent future overdoses, both fatal and non-fatal.
It's important to notify the public of these alerts and make people aware that there could be lethal substances in our community in order to get people the access they need to life-saving resources.
The presence of this type of alert does not change the messaging from the United Way of Marathon County, but heightens its message of starting conversations about substances and addiction. Sarah Hall is the 211 line operations coordinator for the United Way of Marathon County.
If you open up to somebody, it's surprising how many others may have some experience with that, either addiction themselves or having known or loved somebody who's worked through a recovery process.
The Marathon County Health Department says if you see someone that could overdose, call 911, and if you have it, give the person Narcan. They say free Narcan can be found at Vivent Health in Schofield, the lobby of the Marathon County Jail, the Wausau Comprehensive Treatment Center, and North Central Health Care. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. A deadline will be hit today that will help determine if the boy accused of killing Lily Peters in Chippewa County will be tried as an adult. Mike Leishner reports.
It's the deadline for each side to respond to briefs that were filed in late November, meaning after today, the matter will lie solely in the hands of Chippewa County Judge Stephen Gibbs. The defense team has argued that the suspect, known only by the initials CPB, may have an autism spectrum disorder, which could impact his ability to comprehend the consequences of his actions. Prosecutors have pointed to the violent way Peters was killed, saying a move to juvenile court would diminish that. A decision is expected early next year.
That was Mike Leishner reporting. The media landscape has dramatically changed in the past 20 years. A new study shows 3 million residents in more than 200 counties don't have access to a single local news source. Roz Brown has the story.
Starting in 2005, local newspapers began closing their doors, with 2,200 out of business 16 years later. Journalists also fell by the wayside, their numbers cut in half in the same time period. Penelope Muse Abernathy is a visiting professor in the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University, who says more and more, only those who live in large metro areas have significant access to local journalism.
We are losing an average of 2.5 newspapers a week, and by the end of next year, we will have lost a third of all newspapers. Most of those were weeklies that served rural America.
In September, more than 20 nonprofit organizations announced plans to invest a total of $500 million over the next 5 years in local media organizations. I'm Roz Brown.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.